It's a very good morning. Hello, Jeremy Garland here with you. And, of course, it's a very good morning as we look at the weather. And it definitely is. And, of course, Health Matters is on right now here at Noongar Radio 100.9 FM. Also heard not only here on Noongar Radio, but on various stations across Australia as well. Nice to be with you on this particular program. And we have some experts in here who will discuss some of the issues of immunisation, and some of the points we'll be raising is immunisation and how important is immunisation to our community. Jill, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Yep, and of course Stacey, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And of course Dr. Donna, thank you for coming into the studio to talk about this very important subject.
Thanks and good morning.
Yeah. And let's start with the topic, immunisation, the importance of it.
Okay, so...
Doctor, Donna.
So, yeah, immunisation is a very important topic. Immunisation is a way of stopping people from getting sick from infectious diseases that can be very serious and they're very easy to catch. Some of these diseases, unfortunately, you know, can cause lifelong disability and death. So it's really important that if we've got a medical intervention that we can offer to people, that people are aware of that and they can have the choice to have it. And immunisation doesn't just protect the person who's immunised from that disease, but it also protects all their family and the people around them, because there are people who are too young to be immunised, like young babies, or people who are old or they've got sicknesses, which means that even if you give them a vaccine, they don't respond really well to it. But if everyone around them is immunised and protected from that disease, then those people are also protected. So from a community point of view, it's really important. And unfortunately, a lot of the diseases that we can vaccinate against, they are much more common in Aboriginal people. So it's doubly important that Aboriginal people are aware of the vaccines that are important and know how to get immunised, and that we have services that are friendly to Aboriginal people so they can get their vaccines on time.
Yeah, and it's putting that message across is the most important part of it too, isn't it?
Yeah, really important. Just and keep reminding people of that message, yeah.
Yeah, and how have you been doing that in the community?
So in the community, you know, we've got a wide variety of services that can provide vaccinations to people. So, you know, your GP services, AMSs, and now I think, you know, more excitingly, we know that some Aboriginal health workers have been educated so that they can provide not just the education to clients about the importance of immunisations, but they can also be giving the immunisations themselves. So it's great that we've got Jill here with us today.
Yeah, Jill, tell me about your role in the community when it comes to putting this message across to our community.
Yeah, I'm with Maternal and Child Health at Derwent Yerrigan.
Yeah.
And, with our children and, as we know, with our Aboriginal group of people, that we're more at risk for diseases and stuff like that. So it's really important for us to immunise our babies and our elderly.
Yeah, and it's the effectiveness of that process of getting into the community, isn't it? Yeah. How have you done that?
Well, I'm able to immunise now at Derwent.
Yeah.
Because I've done the course. So I immunise the babies that come through because I'm already working in maternal and child health. So I'm able to immunise the babies that, we get through our service.
And what sort of response are you getting from the community as well?
It's pretty good because they see Aboriginal face and they, you know, that trust is already there. So that's one good thing in the service,
And Jill, tell us your role.
So I'm the immunisation or the trainer for the Aboriginal Health Practitioners. So I work for the Aboriginal Health Council of WA, and in partnership with the Department of Health, we've got funding to train Aboriginal health workers and practitioners in how to immunise. So
And looking at the how important is the cultural process when it comes to dealing with individuals?
It's extremely important, as Jill just mentioned. I think it's crucial to have our Aboriginal health workers and practitioners being able to immunise, because they are the front line, and the community does have a lot of trust in them. So the cultural aspect's extremely important.
Yeah, and from that, is there enough information that is out there for the community?
I think so. I guess there's always room for improvement with everything, but there is a lot of advertising and a big push for immunisations in the Aboriginal community, which is great.
Yeah, and from a medical point of view, you'll see things from a different perspective as well, wouldn't you?
Look, I think, you know, what Jill and Stacey have said, you know, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
When we sort of look at the statistics for Aboriginal children being immunised, we know that it's much better in the rural areas than in the metropolitan areas. So I think that's sort of, you know, there's room for celebration because,
yeah, yeah.
You know, we know that immunisation rates in Aboriginal children in rural areas is actually the highest in Australia. You know,
yeah,
some of the remote
yeah.
places. So I think that really goes to show the importance of community and of people who are, you know, having a health service that really is working in with the community and having good connection with the community. And that gives us really good information for how we can improve things in areas where the immunisation uptake is not so good.
Yeah, because it's a continuous evaluation, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Of what
like you're doing. You never say, "Oh, yeah, we're good now, we give up." No, you know,
yeah,
like you've always
yeah.
got to keep striving.
Yeah.
You know, to always, you know, to improve and yeah. to make things better for people. Yeah,
yeah. And Jill, you would have seen that same thing within the community,
yeah.
Getting out there to the community and talking yeah. to Aboriginal families.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sharing that knowledge when they come through the service. Yeah,
yeah. yeah. And of course, it says, how does immunisation work? You know, within, I suppose, for everyone, when it comes
yeah.
to immunisation, we're not, we're talking on child immunisation to getting immunisation for colds and flus, which is pretty important.
Yeah, yeah. So how does immunisation work? Well, it works the same for everyone, you know, Aboriginal people, non-Aboriginal people, Chinese people like me, it's all the same. we all kind of work the same inside.
It doesn't discriminate, does it?
No, it doesn't. No, and nor do the germs yeah. that make us sick. They don't discriminate either on our skin colour.
I like this. Yeah.
Yeah. So the immunisation is a very natural way of protecting ourselves against infections, because what it does is that the vaccine that's injected into us is made from either a killed virus or bacteria, or a strain of the virus or bacteria that has been weakened.
Yeah.
And so that allows our body to mount an immune response to, you know, I guess, you know, make some antibodies that fight that virus or bacteria. And then that's stored in the memory cells of our immune response.
Right.
And then next time we encounter that virus or bacteria, say if someone coughs or sneezes on
yeah.
us, or, you know, we eat some food that's not real good and it's got that germ in it, then the body says, oh, I've met that before and I know it's not good, so I'm going to build more of these antibodies and kill that thing before it actually makes me sick. So it is a very natural way to protect people from illnesses.
Wow. And the subject of memory, it's amazing how you're just... you've just mentioned that it is also part of our memory.
Yeah, so it's part of our immune memory. And,
yeah.
you know, so, for example, you know, we vaccinate babies against hepatitis B. All babies get vaccinated against hepatitis B now. And if they encounter that when they're an adult,
yeah.
That memory is still there and they will be able to mount a response to it. At the moment, the thing that we're really pushing hard is influenza because, you know, we're coming into winter, a bit of a warm winter this year. Perhaps it will get colder as we get on, but,
yeah.
you know, so winter is influenza season, and influenza, although sometimes people use that word probably in not quite the right way. You know, they say, oh, I've got the flu. Actually, they've just got a cold. But
yeah.
if you get influenza, real influenza, it's really serious and it can put people in hospital, especially pregnant ladies or our elderly people. You know, they can get really sick. And then, of course, you know, babies and young children can get very sick from influenza and need to go into hospital. So now is a good time if you haven't had your influenza vaccine. Now's the time to go and get it.
Yeah.
I have mine a few weeks
Aboriginal
ago.
People.
That's right.
Yeah.
Free for all Aboriginal people.
Yeah. And
that's only in WA, though.
It's only in Western Australia, then?
Yeah, only in yeah. WA it's free for all Aboriginal people.
Yeah.
I think in the other states it's over 5 and younger, over than 15 or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah
in the other states there's a window between if you're age I think 5 to 15 that you don't get it for free, which is kind of a bit weird. But in WA, it's free for all Aboriginal people. So, you know, if you haven't had it this year, go and get it.
Yeah, yeah. And also getting to mothers is the most important part of this message, is to mothers, the importance of vaccinations. How are you doing that within the community? To see the importance for the mothers to be sort of educated in some way.
So the health department for the last few years now has actually been doing some education of all pregnant mothers, and it starts off with talking to the pregnant mothers about the importance of a flu vaccine and whooping cough vaccine while they're pregnant, to protect them from those diseases when they're pregnant, and also to protect their babies, because when the baby is less than 6 months old, its immune response is still not very well developed, so we can't expect the baby to come out and develop immunity straight away. But if the mother has vaccination for flu and whooping cough while she's pregnant, the antibodies can cross the placenta into the baby, protect the baby for the first 6 months of its life. And we find that if mothers are coming on board with getting themselves protected and their newborn babies protected against vaccines, then after the baby's born, they're probably more likely to then, you know, get on the right track in getting their baby protected and getting all the baby's vaccines on time. And we've done some research into that in Western Australia that shows that that is indeed the case, that, you know, mothers who have their influenza vaccine are more likely to get their babies vaccinated on time and get them, you know, protected, get the baby protected as early as possible against vaccine-preventable diseases. And the research we've done in WA on Aboriginal mothers with flu vaccine shows that Aboriginal mothers are really happy to have flu vaccine. At even a slightly higher rate than non-Aboriginal mothers. So they really are taking on board this message, which I think is another good news story that we're really happy about.
And because that's the importance, that they can understand that the importance of health, because we're living with chronic health conditions within the community as well.
Yeah, and you know, we know mothers are carers, and you know, so they really have a vested interest in making sure people are protected, because if anyone in their family gets sick, it's usually mum who ends up looking after them, or granny.
Okay, we'll go to a track at the moment, so we'll just come to go to a song, and then we'll continue right here on Health Matters. Radio 100.9 FM Digital afternoon with Jeremy. Oh, not afternoon, it's a good morning, in fact, because I do an afternoon show here too as well, which is Afternoons with Jeremy Gallet, and this is a very unusual program because it's morning. So, yeah, nice to have people here in the studios to talk about health matters, and health matters are an important process of all of us and all of our listeners, as well as people who are out there in the community, mainstream communities as well. On the subject of vaccinations, which we're talking about right here on Health Matters, when we go through this process of vaccination, do we have to wait at a certain specific time when we have to do this this process, or how do we take that responsibility when it comes to, yeah?
Okay, well, the vaccines are designed to work in certain people at certain ages. So it is important that we follow the Australian vaccination schedule, because, you know, if you wait till, for example, some people might say, well, you know, can I just wait till my child's ready to go to school and then I'll give him or her all the vaccines? And, well, you could do that, but it's probably not the best way to protect your child, because there are some diseases that are really serious in babies. And so if you don't protect them while they're a baby and you wait till they're, say, 5 or 6, then the time when they're most vulnerable to getting that disease and getting really sick from that disease has passed. So, you know, they've had this years of being at risk. There are also some vaccines that if you give them to people who are too old, say, for example, the rotavirus vaccine, that could actually be dangerous to them. So we can't wait till they're too old. So although the schedule is probably a bit complicated, and, you know, like, I don't know it off the top of my head, I don't think anyone is expected to know it off the top of their head, but, you know, it's good to mark it down in a calendar or put it on your phone or something, so that you know, oh, my baby's 2 months old, now he or she's due for this vaccine. And also to work in with your health service so that they perhaps could send you reminders, and then you make sure that your child is vaccinated at the right time, because that's the time when they're most vulnerable from the disease. It's also the time when the vaccine's going to work best in their immune system. So if you line up all your ducks, then hopefully you have a healthy, well-protected child.
Wonderful, yeah. And I suppose the next question is, what if parents don't get vaccination? We touched on it in bits and pieces, but what are some of the processes behind that when people don't get vaccinated, or children?
Like Donna was just saying, there is a high risk of the child getting very seriously sick, and in some cases, in fact, passing away. I'm not sure if you know the Light for Riley page on Facebook, but that is a mother and her young son actually passed away from whooping cough. He was only 6 weeks old, so he wasn't able to get his immunizations yet. I don't even think he was 6 weeks old. I think he was a bit younger, actually.
4 weeks.
Yeah, 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So he was too little to get his vaccines. So, if you have younger kids as well in the family, you need to get them immunised to protect younger siblings again, or the older people in the community as well. So, so it's really important to get them vaccinated.
Yeah. And of course, so when can people get to get their children vaccinated? So I suppose it's not only the Aboriginal Medical Service, but you can get it done anywhere else, can't you?
Yeah,
you can go to a school, a hospital. Schools were doing at one stage. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, so the schools will do the school-based program. Mm. So that's things like your cervical cancer vaccines and things like that.
Yeah.
They can go and see Jill at Durbel in East Perth here. Yeah. Or the other Durbels at Midland, Mirrabooka and Maddington. Or just any other doctor, or you can go to the street doctor or the community health centre. All GPs will have the access to these vaccines.
So there's a range of places.
Range of services. Yeah. And if you're an adult and you want your flu vaccine, now you can go to a chemist and get
there. Yeah.
So, you know, you don't even have to go and see a doctor. Mind you, if you go to a chemist, you have to pay, but some people prefer to do that because they like the convenience.
Yeah.
I think there's, you know, more and more choices opening up.
Yeah. And it gives people a greater opportunity too as well. And there are some places they actually advertise the flu vaccination, which is a chemist as well. Yeah. And so it gives you a bigger area to look at as well.
Yeah, and then a lot of people would be offered the flu vaccine as part of their workplace. You know, a lot of the big corporate employers will offer their employees flu vaccine. So, and then that's for free. You don't have to pay for it if you're...
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, that was the same situation with the police service. I was 31 years in that.
Oh,
and,
yeah?
Of course, what people had to do was sort of line up and get the needle. Not really many people like having the needle, you know what I mean? And the next question is, does it hurt?
Well, it's going to hurt a little bit, but yeah, compared to getting the disease that it's preventing, it's a lot better and a lot less painful. So, but the person giving the needle, especially with kids, will have a lot of distraction techniques, trying to keep the kids busy during the process. But we often find that a lot of the time that if the parent's anxious and nervous about the needle, then the kids will often be anxious and scared too. So, relax mum and dad equals a relaxed baby when it comes to immunisation.
Yeah, that's important, isn't it? And of course, again, the cultural side, Jill, is that that is important too as well, because it's relaxation and the children will see that.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, another question is, are there any sort of side effects when it comes to this? I mean, people have made issues of these things, having side effects and all sorts of things, but what are those side effects, if there's any?
Okay, so like anything, even if you have Panadol, any kind of medicine, there is a risk of side effects. So when you get immunised or your child gets immunised, the person giving the immunisation will get you to stay, hang around the clinic for about 10 to 15 minutes afterwards, just to make sure you are okay and that you don't have any severe reactions afterwards. But sometimes you can get a bit of a sore arm the next day, or a bit of redness around the site, or sometimes in babies, especially with the oral vaccine, they get a bit of a sore tummy and a bit grumpy. But often, well, always the mum knows the baby, so if she's overly concerned, or dad, or whoever's looking after it, if they're overly concerned, they can take the baby back to the AMS or to emergency if it's crucial. So
yeah, and also I suppose another subject is what, if possible, that a parent or a mother has missed a vaccination. You know, have they got any concerns when it comes to missing a vaccination? I mean,
no, that's fine. They don't need to worry. They can go into their doctor or their AMS or wherever they need to go, and the health professionals there can have a look up online and see what they're due, and then we can calculate a way to catch them up safely. So, but if you are in doubt, if you've got your purple book, I'm not sure what colour they are in other states, but here in WA, the baby's books are purple, and that tells you when the immunisations are due as well.
And Dr. Donna, now it comes to the thing, I suppose it does come to the flu vaccination, which we touched on as well.
Mm-hmm.
The importance of that as well, it has a bigger importance within the community, to have those vaccinations because of this chronic health as well.
Mm.
Tell me a little bit about those concerns.
Yeah, so we know that last year a third of children who were diagnosed with flu actually went into hospital.
Yeah,
that's serious.
Right, yeah.
You know, one in three children who get flu end up in hospital. So you think, well, if you could prevent that, you know, isn't that worthwhile doing? And they just need to have a simple, you know, flu needle once a year to protect them.
Yeah.
There was some bad press with flu vaccine a few years back because of one particular brand of flu vaccine and the way it was manufactured.
Yeah.
That vaccine is no longer licensed for use in children.
Yeah.
And they've changed the way in which it's being manufactured. So, you know, we can have much more confidence now, I think, in influenza vaccine and especially influenza vaccine in young children, you know, because they're very vulnerable to, you know, getting very sick and being in hospital with flu. But, you know, as we said before, flu vaccine is free for all Aboriginal people of all ages, and so, you know, I think everyone should be getting it. Just the young children and the elderly.
Because, of course, you're looking at chronic health, and it is an important process to have a strong immune system.
Yes, and, you know, especially, you know, people, you know, have diabetes, or if they have heart disease, or they're smokers, or they've got, you know, asthma, things like that. Really important to get your flu vaccine. You know, I get mine religiously every year because I have asthma, and last thing I need to get is flu and end up in hospital with pneumonia.
Yeah. And they're the things that we need to look at in the future as well.
Mm.
Yeah. Can you get a flu vaccination anywhere? I suppose you can. We touched on that. with respect to that?
I think, look, some people are a bit worried about getting flu vaccine because they've heard someone say to them, look, I got the flu vaccine last year and it gave me flu. And when I hear that, I think, well, I'm not quite sure how that works because the flu vaccine is made from a dead virus. It's been killed being put into the vaccine. So it may be possible that after they got the flu vaccine, the vaccine made them feel a little bit feverish or gave them a bit of a sore arm. We know that can happen. That's certainly not as bad as getting influenza infection. We also know that sometimes, you know, you get your flu vaccine in winter and there's a lot of colds and things like that circulating in winter. So perhaps it is that you were coming down with a cold anyway and it happened to coincide with the day that you got your flu vaccine. And as we all often do, we sort of blame the vaccine for making us sick, but perhaps we were going to get it anyway. So, but I guess from a medical point of view, we know that we're injecting a dead virus into a person when we give them the flu vaccine, so I don't really think it's possible that they could have got flu just from having flu vaccine.
On the subject of Aboriginal health, it says Aboriginal workers, do they get that the vaccine as well? Tell us about the immune program, by the way, that you've been embarking on as well.
So the Aboriginal Health Worker Immunisation Program, so it's run by the Aboriginal Health Council of WA and funded by the Department of Health. So we're very lucky to be delivering this training. So it's a 2-week training course for Aboriginal health workers and practitioners. And it's been running for about 3 years now, and we've trained over 30 Aboriginal health workers and practitioners all across the state, which is very exciting. So I'm off to Kalgoorlie in a few weeks to train some of the Aboriginal health practitioners out at Bega. And it's a great training program.
Tell us about the training program that you'll be doing out there in the community.
Okay, so it's 2 weeks, so I'll be going out there for a week and then giving them a week break and then going out a week the second week. We're doing the second block a week after the first. So the training is pretty intense, and I'm sure Jill can agree with that. So we do everything. We learn about the immune system. We do practical experience. We do a lot, so it's very full on.
Yeah, and of course communication, again, cultural communication with Aboriginal people is pretty paramount, isn't it, Jill?
Yep.
Yeah. Tell us about how you go about doing that.
So just speaking with our clients and, you know, educating. So it's good to do the course and, you know, like to share your knowledge with your community and family.
And that's pretty important, isn't it, when you share that knowledge, because you're sharing the knowledge from your experience and how important it is to get to that process within the community of sharing that.
Yeah, very important for our families to know that, you know, immunisation is very important for our babies.
Yeah, and have you seen any examples of the communities from sort of away from Perth? Some of the not the issues, but more of the things that has been done to date within the community. No, that's okay. Yeah. So getting people to respond, that's the main thing, is to respond to a process, and getting people to be able to become aware of all these issues of vaccinations, and getting within the community. Are you getting any of the results of that within outside of the community of Perth?
Yeah, like Donna was saying, the Aboriginal immunisation rates outside the metro area are absolutely fantastic. So we need to keep pushing it, though, because, like Donna was saying as well, it's an issue that needs to keep on going. We need to keep pushing the importance of vaccines. The metro area is lagging a little bit, so we do need to focus on our metro Aboriginal community members. So, but hopefully as the course goes on and more Aboriginal health workers and practitioners are able to immunise, will mean it's more accessible for Aboriginal people to get the vaccinations.
Yeah. You're listening to Health Matters right here on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM in Perth and surrounding locations. And, of course, this has been heard right across Australia as well. It's a very good morning right here on Noongar Radio on Health Matters. And of course, we have the experts in the studio here to talk about health matters and matters that are really, really pertinent within our community. And it's really important to understand the importance of health. And I know sometimes I was listening that we were sort of going over the topics, but I mean, health is so important that we need to clarify this information within our community as well, and the importance of clarifying it. Dr. Donna, tell me of an experience of meningococcal.
Right. Most people probably have heard of, you know, meningitis or meningococcal disease. It's a really serious bacterial infection that people of all ages can get.
Yeah.
And recently in Australia, we've had a change in the strain of meningococcus that is causing infection. So there's been quite a rapid rise in the W strain. And that is a strain that is not covered by the usual meningococcal vaccine that the children get when they're 18 months, because that one is for the C strain. So what we've been doing in Western Australia is we've got a new vaccination program that has just started, and it's for adolescents, because they're the ones who are most likely to carry this meningococcus W strain in the back of their throat. And although they might be quite well, they could then pass it on to someone in whom that person will get sick from it and can get very seriously ill. So starting in second school term of 2017, the WA Health Department is funding free meningococcal W vaccine for adolescents aged 15 to 19 years. And we all know that teenagers are not the best at seeking medical help or, you know, going to the doctor.
Yeah.
So the vaccine is being offered initially through schools, so for children in years 10 to 12. And then in the third school term, it'll be offered through schools and universities. So that'll pick up your 18-year-olds. And so if you've got a young person of that age in your family, make sure that they're getting it either through their school or through their university.
Yeah, yeah. That's okay. I'm just opening the door for a bit. Let's talk about of some of the symptoms that we're looking for when it comes to meningococcal
disease. Yeah. So, some of the symptoms of meningococcal disease, and you know, we really want to prevent it, because once you get it, actually the symptoms can really race ahead, and even if you pick it up early, you know, the outcomes aren't that wonderful a lot of the times. But if you have someone who has like a very severe headache, high fever, they might have a purple rash.
Rash, yeah.
And the rash is different from other rashes, because if you press on it, it's actually bruising. So if you press on it, it doesn't go away. Like most rashes, they're a bit pinky or red, and if you press on it, it goes away, you know. But this rash, it's bruising. So the blood's outside the blood vessels. If you press on it, it still stays there. The person might be not wanting to have light shine in their eyes. So if it's a bright light, they'll close their eyes. Yeah.
It's very rapid, isn't it?
Very rapid. That's the scary thing about meningococcal disease, is that it's very rapid. So even if you are aware of the symptoms, sometimes by the time you pick it up and then you get that person to a health facility and they get antibiotics, you know, often the consequences are really very devastating.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really far better if we can prevent it with vaccination.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if you think in a situation that there's some requirements to be done, how sort of rapid you're going to, you know, talking about rapid, how important it is to go to a medical specialist is
It's crucial. If you think someone's got meningococcal disease, they have to go straight away, you know, as soon as possible, you know, to health care or go to a hospital. And the quicker they can get an injection of antibiotics and get that started, then the better.
Yeah. And of course, what happens after? Is there any side effects with the injection?
Oh, with needles? The injection?
Yeah, do they? I mean, well, you wouldn't be really worried about side effects, I gather.
No, I don't really think you would, because the side effects of the disease are, well death is death. The most serious one, and then if people survive, and you've probably seen, and I forget the little baby's name, but he's been in the news quite a lot, and his parents have been in the news.
Yeah,
you know, he survived, but he's lost his arms and legs, like below the elbows and knees.
Yeah,
you know, he seems like a bright and happy little boy, but that obviously is a lifelong disability one wants to have for their child.
Yeah. So parents, it's really, really important, you know, again, coming back to what the message is to many of parents. Jill, what's the message that you'd like to put across to our parents?
Yeah, the message for our Aboriginal people out there, you know, mums and dads, very important to, and it's crucial, you know, to get immunisation. You know, take responsibility for our babies out there and bring them in and get them immunised, you know, on time and when they're supposed to get immunised.
Yeah. And of course, there are places to go if that is required to get the immunisations, as well as also understanding meningococcal, which is again, it's a very serious situation that's occurring. Where would you get information from? That information,
you could go to any health service. You can go to your AMS or go to your GP, speak to someone like Jill, or you know, any Aboriginal health worker, especially one who's done the course, because they'll be full bottle on it and they can advise you about the vaccine and possible side effects of the vaccine, but probably more importantly about the disease that the vaccine is preventing and what that disease could do to, you know, people in your family if anyone gets sick from it.
Yeah. It's all good information, lots of information here today, and that's one of the good things about this whole program, Health Matters, and that information is available, and this information is readily available within the Aboriginal Medical Services and other services as well. We'll just go to a bit of a break, and then and of course you're listening to Health Matters, I should say, and of course that our good Dr. Donna, who's here, it's also Stacey is here, talking about health and also education, and also Jill on the Aboriginal subjects as well, on the Aboriginal subjects when it comes to getting the message across to the community as well. So we'll just go for a little break right here on Noongar Radio. You're tuned to Noongar Radio 100.9 FM Digital, and this is Health Matters. That's a very good morning. Noongar Radio 100.9 FM Digital, and as I said, this is Health Matters, and we're broadcasting not only here in Perth, but on the various other stations around, and it gives us a diversity when it comes to listening. And the people who are out in the community and and of course the city. I suppose in a way, Jill, is there a difference between the community people and people out in the country? And tell us about some of your experiences.
I've been up to Central Australia and stuff like that. And, you know, we all have the same health, you know, things wrong with us and that. We have our diabetes and heart disease, you know, it covers across the board for all of us. It's just that in, you know, Perth we have our services that we can access easily, but out there in the central desert and stuff, they have lack of services provided for them. So it's sort of a difference where you can access services here. But up there you can't access services because there's a lack of services provided.
And also, Jill, the importance of that message and that information is vital, isn't it, to communities out there, because is the lack of information, but having you there, how important is that?
Well, it is very important to have, you know, health workers, anyone who can fill that role, you know, to go and get their certificate 3 and 4 in Aboriginal health, get that knowledge, and it's very important for us to do that for our people and share that knowledge.
Yeah, and how is it too important to again get people in the industry as well, in that health industry, Stacey?
Yeah, it's extremely important. There is different trainings for different things that you want to be specialised in, but like I said, the immunisation training is going all up and down the states to hopefully target those areas which are lacking in services as well. So yeah, so I know in September I'm going up to Broome, and then we're getting people from more Aboriginal health practitioners from Fitzroy Crossing and Halls Creek, so from all over the state, which is great.
Yeah, and of course, Jill, you'll be a role model within the community, because the first thing they see you as a health worker, you're not only an educator, but they'll sort of put you in that little pigeonhole, which is so important as a health worker.
Yep.
Do you agree?
Yes.
Yeah. And that is important with the families. It's amazing with families what happens with a process that happens when, you know, when you've got one person there that's thinking about health, and the importance of that to get that to the Aboriginal community is you don't really have to speak very much about what you do, because it's a word of mouth. The information on the subject of word of mouth, what sorts of ways of getting out to the community? You know, some people who don't know how to read, some people don't know how to write. But what are ways of you two to speak out?
So yarning.
Yarning, and what's that about? Yep. Tell us about that.
Yarning with your clients, and, you know, just, it doesn't have to be like an interview or anything like that.
Yeah,
Just yarning. Informal, informal yarning with clients.
Yeah, yeah. And do you feel that getting out there as a group of people?
Yeah.
Is it effective?
Yep. Even when we have, like, NAIDOC coming up, you know, we always out there giving our health messages out to the community. So through events like that.
And, of course, NAIDOC coming up.
Yep.
You'll be out there at,
we'll be out there at Ashfield. Ashfield, yep.
On the 6th of July.
Yep. Hopefully it's not raining.
Yeah. No, they've got tents there.
Still cold.
But it's going to be a great way to get that. The street doctor will be there too.
Yeah.
I understand. So yeah. Yep. So
you can go there to get immunisations as well. So
So, Dr. Donna, would you like to add anything that you think we could add? Because I think it's important. We're very close to closing time here.
I think probably, you know, the important message is that vaccination saves lives, and it saves people from getting sick.
Hmm.
So
you know, get your babies vaccinated, get vaccinated yourself. But if you've got any concerns about vaccines, and then that's fine. You know, everyone has questions. They might have heard bad things or whatever. Don't be scared to ask.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go and see your GP or your Aboriginal health worker or Aboriginal health practitioner or your nurse and have that conversation. Ask the questions, because
that's
it's right. Only through that that you can then make up your own mind about, you know, how to best protect yourself and your family and your community.
Stacey?
Yep.
Would you like to add anything that we could talk about?
I think we need to remember as well that vaccines don't just stop it in childhood; they go throughout your whole life as well. So yeah, that's important to remember too.
Yeah.
Sometimes we need boosters on some of our vaccines, so we can't forget that.
Jill,
I just want to say to all the Aboriginal health workers who haven't done the course and may be interested in doing it, it's a good course to do, and you can share your knowledge and your skills with your community and
yeah.
Able to vaccinate our little Noongar babies.
Yeah. Yeah, no worries there. Well, this was Health Matters. I've got four lovely ladies here who've contributed to the program, and thanks very much for this particular day, this time. Dr. Donna, there's Stacey. Thank you very much for coming in the studio.
Thank you.
And Jill, thank you very
thank
much.
You.
And of course, so we can, and our judicator here, absolutely wonderful judicator who helps us and puts us in line from time to time. So it's really good. You're listening to Noongar Radio, and thank you for joining us right here on this particular morning.
Hey, Mum, can we go to the park and kick the footy?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Go grab your footy and your bikes, and we'll head down in a couple of minutes.
Okay.
You don't need expensive gym equipment to get your 30 minutes of exercise every day. It's as easy as going down to the park to kick the footy, walking the dog, walking down to the shops, or walking the kids to school.
Come on, Auntie, you ready?
Yeah, let's go, boys. I'll race you there.
This is a community service announcement from Noongar Radio.